keep Auckland beautiful.
This is the Bad Monkey, and we are here for the Radio 13 Week 5 special on a Saturday night. And I've got all DJs here, and I gave them an assignment. I've asked them to pick two songs that were released after the year 2000. And we're going to talk a little bit about it and tell you why those songs matter to us individually. And we're going to also try and push and provoke and, you know, kind of love each other a bit here. And I'm going to now get everyone to kind of introduce themselves, and I'm looking to Uncle Rog.
Good evening, Roger Bowie. I'm continuing my eclectic journey with these eclectic bunch of interesting people.
Interesting people. Not you, Simon.
Whatever. I'm not bothered.
You should be. Just a little.
Well, maybe I will be tomorrow morning.
Hello, I'm Claire. I have the classical chromatics program, so everything classical and a bit sort of bent over those, blurred over those boundaries as well.
Cool.
Hi, it's Boyley here, and he's with his friends to the ends tonight as well. That's my show, but I've got a few of them here tonight, which will be a lot of fun.
Oh, we're part of Boyley's friends.
Yeah. Oh. Well, except Simon, maybe. I'm not sure.
Do we get a card or something?
I said interesting people, but what I really meant, the word I was searching for, and Simon, when I look at Simon, it comes back to me immediately. I was thinking of Motley Crue.
Motley Crue. Come on, what does Simon say?
Simon says, my name is Simon, I'm really up for it, and really interested in kind of just ignoring all this negativity and just getting on with it, Ruben. What Simon says is on every first Saturday, so I'm going to be here this time next week.
Okay, which means that's your next show, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, thanks for that. Carol and the Angels. So we're going to go...
Not about self-promotion at all, are we, Simon?
Actually, just a little too much, I thought. Well, it's not your show tonight, Simon, just saying.
Okay, I'll see you later then, bye.
Bye, okay.
But stay for your tracks, because they're quite interesting.
Okay, all right. Well, play them first and then I can fuck off.
Yeah, quite right.
Bitter End, Placebo, Sleeping with Ghost, released in 2003, after the Black Market Music album and before Meds. This is when there was still a three-piece, Molko, Osdahl and Steve Hewitt. absolutely brilliant lyrics. I mean, this album really changed my perception of the band. Loved them to bits. Brilliant lyrics, beautiful Molko, and it made me wear eyeliner and black nail polish again for a whole year straight. So you can think about what people used to say at me at work. But it really also, this album really fueled my photography at the time. And I can't say enough about this album. Have any of you heard this album or seen Placebo live?
I've seen them live multiple. I saw them live 3 Halloweens in a row.
Wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
October 31st at Brixton Academy every single year. 3 years in a row, like probably maybe 2000 and no, 97 to 99, something like that. But okay. they're one of my favourite bands, and I'm so. It's my favourite Placebo song, that one.
Oh, really?
I play
it
over and over and over again in my headphones sometimes.
So. Oh, cool. Yeah. How about you? How about you? Other brilliant people.
I love Placebo.
Placebo.
Hello?
Placebo.
Is this on?
Tell us about Roger.
I don't know that song particularly, but I know some of their earlier albums, and yeah, fantastic band.
It is. There they are. They are.
And they got such a distinctive sound as well. What's the lead singer's name?
Brian Molko. Very cool. The little pixie.
Yeah. He's got a great voice.
Beautiful man. I can tell. I mean, I met Brian in Singapore when I first played there.
Oh, really?
I hung up backstage. Absolutely beautiful people. He was always jolly, you know, and making all kinds of funny jokes. Oh, Brian, I love you. I'm saying that again and again, and I'm going to fight you over Simon.
Let's have a fight. Let's have one of those charity boxing matches. A charity boxing match for the love of Brian Molko. That sounds great.
There we go.
This is one of the first times we all agree on something.
You think?
Yep, we all like that song. Yeah, we love Placebo. Okay.
Well, I did my homework, and I think I did it well.
You've done it well. It's your show.
This is Underworld, and always loved a film from their 2010 album called Barking, which is the first time that the Underworld boys handed over production duties to different producers for each track. And this track is, I think, it's very Underworld, but it's also got a kind of much more euphoric kind of sensibility than maybe a lot of their other kind of other songs had. I chose Underworld because the Underworld were the band that got me out of the kind of the grotty bedsit and the kind of indie clubs and into the dance clubs in about 1996. And
Simon William Todd dancing.
You should have seen me, mate.
Ooh.
Yeah, after a little trip to the toilet, I was right on the dance floor. for at least
90s
90s
were great for clubbing.
Yeah, true. Boku Fish was the album that really woke me. I've always followed them, and I think they're fantastic because they do, you know, you don't want to kind of, you know, think too much about this kind of music because it just gets to you. You know, it's in your bones, it's in your muscles when you turn it up loud, and it has to be loud.
There you go.
No one's going to play this at kind of at breakfast, are they? Well, they might do.
It's still clubbing.
Exactly, round your house, Claire.
Yeah, every morning.
Yeah. Listen to some more of it, yeah?
Cool.
Shame we had to fade out already, but that was Underworld. Always loved to film. Underworld have got a really cool project going on prolifically. It's called Drift. You can catch it on their website under, I think it's called underworldlive.com. Basically, they're releasing some sort of creative project every week for a year, from November to November. A lot of it's been released as kind of like packages on your favourite streaming service. But I am still cross with them because they were supposed to be playing at Electric Garden, Ruben. I don't know
right.
whether you
remember that. Yep.
In Auckland last February, and I bought tickets to it. And then they, probably for very good reasons, they had to cancel. And I was furious because I then had to just go and sit through Fatboy Slim.
Fatboy who?
Fatboy who?
Norman Cook. Norman Cook.
Hello, is this on?
Oh God!
Yeah,
this is going to be one of those nights,
Norman
isn't it?
Cook, Fatboy Slim.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a music DJ so I could play the songs that I loved and share them with other people, hoping they'd love them too. Hi, my name's David Boyle, but my friends call me Boyly, and I want to introduce you to my show, Friends to the Ends. I'll have a special guest each show to share their favourite music, stories and thoughts. We pick a theme, play songs, and talk about why they mean so much. So hopefully you'll discover new songs or be reminded of others that may have been lost in time that take you back to places like it was yesterday. And if you're wondering about the name, it's a nod to my great friend and Kiwi music icon, Mike Chun of Split Ends. It was one of the inspirations for the show and the first to feature. So if you love music and want to have a laugh while hearing some great songs, come and join me every second Saturday at 8:30 p.m. on Planet 104.6 FM or any other time at planetaudio.org.nz/friends-to-the-ends.
Okay, Boyly, enough of the cop rock moves. Tell us about this one.
Seriously, it was great to see Simon bouncing off the walls off that one because he just loves the Arctic Monkeys. You're so... Seriously, mate, you're such a... I can't believe you don't like them. Anyway, Arctic Monkeys, I mean, they are, and they were, and still are, actually. They've had their moments of disappointment, but overall, their first band, first album... When they came to New Zealand, myself, Wazza, and Jibba, we were doing garage sessions, which meant that every month, we'd pick a theme and make up some songs.
Who are Wazza and Jibba?
Well, they're my mates, Simon. Okay. One of my friends.
I've been there 12 years, but I still have to learn the lingo that Wazza and Jibba means your mates.
Exactly. Okay. Well, anyway.
It's not to do with carpentry and fixing the walls.
You got friends, Boyly.
Oh, yeah, they've got lots.
Friends to the end.
I wish I had friends with Wazza and Jibber.
Well, that's their real name. No, they're not their real names, but that's what... Well, Wazza's is Jibber's. I just made that. Just how he dances on the dance floor. Jibberwopper's a little as you go.
Oh, Jibberwopper.
Anyway, we... So we went to the Arctic Monkeys. They played for, I think, 38 minutes. That's about the length of the album. And felt like, again, a little schoolboy and got home about 3:30 in the morning feeling very worse for wear. But it was the excitement, and that song was the last song of the night. And, there was a little bit of plaster falling off the old St. James Theatre of that night, that's for sure.
Well, you know, there's a story about the Arctic Monkeys because someone in this room got invited to a listening party and was given a fucking free vinyl record.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
Doesn't even like them.
I do like them.
No, you were yawning, mate.
I was yawning at that song.
That's a great song.
But I don't think it's one of their best songs. I think that the best album was their first album. And I also really like their last album, the Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. I think that's a really good album too.
Yeah, you're just saying that because they let you... They paid for a sausage, right?
To be honest, I did. They paid for a sausage, and I ate it.
Yeah.
And I also ate quite a lot of other food, but you couldn't hear the music because there was all these kind of wanky people talking about kind of
how good they were.
Yeah, well, how good they were, not the Arctic Monkeys. How good they were, you know.
I saw the Arctic Monkeys at the Big Day Out.
Yeah, disappointing that night.
Very disappointing. I agree. I liked the band, but they were just totally blown away.
And then when they came
by the old man, Neil Young.
Neil Young, yeah.
He just sent them to the cleaners that night.
Well, no, I think they were just not, they weren't happy boys then. But they came back and did AM, and that was a great, great gig at the, would have been the Victor Arena in those days.
And
they rocked.
The last time they came here, it was a really good show, and you can read the review of it on radio13.co.nz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By Simon William Codd. Yeah.
Were there lots of pictures?
Yeah, there were great pictures taken by Bam Monkey.
Handsome Black Monkey.
Handsome Bam Monkey.
He's quite famous, isn't he?
Very.
Mm. Very.
Give him a sausage. Yeah.
And a banana.
And a glass of wine.
My turn, boys. Parker Millsap from 2016. The Very Last Day with You Gotta Move, a song that was first sung in 1940. It's a traditional song, and then Mississippi Fred McDowell made it a Hill Country Blues song. Sister Rosetta Tharp, Reverend Gary Davis, and the Rolling Stones sang this song. We got to hear it all, Ribbon. Turn it up.
Why does he get his whole song played? And
fuck off, Boyley. I'm under there. Seriously. I'm on the table.
You made me old. You made me young. You made me weak. You made me strong. But when I love. Ready, you gotta move. Thank you.
So I saw this young man, he's from Oklahoma, and he was an Emerging Artist of the Year 2014 at the Americana Music Association. I saw him in 2016. He played a couple of songs, including this one, and I thought, wow, is there anyone in the United States that I have heard who sounds like Marlon? This is the man. You gotta move.
Okay, verdicts around the table. Come on. Simon William Todd, Claire.
I love the blues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very authentic blues, wasn't it? Yeah,
and it comes straight from the heart, and it's just great. Love it.
It kind of shows you that traditional music doesn't matter how old it is, if you get a really great singer. And at 25, he sounded like he was about 50, 60 or 70, maybe. I mean, what a great voice. I really enjoyed it. Simon, how did you find it? You were listening quite intently during the course of that one.
He's got his mouth closed. It's dangerous.
I thought it was good.
He's not persuaded.
Ah. Oh, nice one.
I think as long as you turn it up, it's all good.
There's no point in being polite.
Yeah, I didn't turn it up. If I was kind of washing up and that was up loud enough, I'd find the washing up did itself.
Okay, let me get you some police woman here.
As a policewoman from her 2008 album To Survive, and I chose this tune for a whole bunch of reasons, really. I connected to it really strongly emotionally, but it also I chose her to represent Jeff Buckley as well, and this particular song was written as a homage to him, The Start of My Heart. She describes, "I was with you, Rivington Deep, September. We took the long way and your hand led me home." And she goes on to say, "Thank you. Thank you from the deep of my heart. I thank you for the start of my heart." And it just, oh.
It's beautiful. Heavy.
Oh, it's lovely. It's just beautiful to not the regrets, but the thanks, the gratitude. And I couldn't play Jeff Buckley tonight because his album is not post-2000. And so Joan is representing him tonight.
Oh, that's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, very well done, Claire.
And also the exciting thing is this year we hope that she will grace our beloved city at the Tuning Fork on Friday the 25th of October. We hope to see Joan as a policewoman here. So
is it
I'm
a
super
doubt?
Excited.
Well, she didn't turn up last time. I mean, yeah, so that's the only question mark, because everyone was looking forward to
it. We're going to positively expect her to be here. So.
I want to ask her what she thinks of Dadiri.
The dairy.
I don't know.
Dairy.
There's lots of dairies.
News agent?
Which dairy are you talking about?
Did you not read my review? Did you?
I don't know if you'll get close enough to her.
Boys and girls, read my review. I thought the dairy sounded like Jeff Buckley.
Sounds like you've got to stutter.
Yeah.
The dairy.
The next artist that we're playing of my choice is quite a Jeff Buckley-ish too. Perhaps we go and seek Jeff Buckley in all these hidden corners.
Don't go swimming with your clothes on.
No, not in the Mississippi, that's for sure.
Well, basically, don't just walk into the sea to end it all.
Well, that
was a river.
I don't know if you. I don't think he was planning.
Sorry. I was thinking of Reginald Perrin then.
Yeah.
And my own demise. But don't go in walking into any deep water, kids.
Don't do it, Simon.
Okay.
No.
Speaking of swimming, Claire does quite a bit of it, don't you?
I ocean swim, yes.
Do you?
I do.
Do you worry about the sharks? Because
no, they don't worry about me. No,
exactly.
No, they don't. There's enough water. There's, you know, there's plenty of fish. They'll eat the fish first.
Okay.
They only ever nibble. It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Are there sharks around here?
I've heard that.
Yeah, goodness, but not that many.
I've heard people say that about you, David. You only nibble.
Do I?
Really?
Yeah. They want a bit more commitment.
Oh, you got me hook, line, and sinker on that one.
But we'll be here to fit.
Connect to people filled with passion and a shared love for music. Listen to the Bad Monkey Walk on the Wild Side with his special guest on the Bad Monkey Music Show every Sunday, 12:30 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or planetaudio.org.nz/badmonkeymusic.
День и ночь роняет сердце ласку, день и ночь кружится голова, день и ночь взволнованною сказкой мне звучат твои слова. Day and night my heart gives such tenderness. Day and night my head is spinning. Day and night like a thrilling fantasy. Раз в холодный зимний вечер мне так хочется любить.
Just One Chance, and that was Mark Almond with Ludmila Zaykina from his album Heart on Snow. And I thought Claire would like that. I wanted to play a song so that she's not the only one who is playing opera or folk kind of music. Well, this album was very special to me. It was recorded at St. Petersburg, Moscow and London in 2003. And I travelled to Siberia, actually, in 2004 for a year. And I ended up staying for six. So it's a long time I stayed in Russia, and it's a wonderful part of my life. I traveled the length and breadth of this wonderful motherland, and I grew to love vodka, and I love the people of Russia even more. So this album was always on my playlist as I traveled on the train across Siberia, and yeah, it brings me back. And we lived in an apartment 10 minutes away from the Red Square in Moscow, and 15 minutes from the Bolshoi Theatre. And we've been to many shows there. I lived in Moscow for a year and a half, actually. And I would not hesitate to go back to live in Russia. So there you go. That's my pick. judging by the shocked faces around the table here.
My brother has just gone off to Siberia. His wife sent him.
Which gulag? I might know it.
No, he just left today. Yesterday, he's
seriously.
Going, oh, I thought you were joking, Roger. I mean, well, no, it doesn't sound good. If
I'm
you
only
got
half
sent
joking.
Off.
I'm only half joking. He's going to take a tour. It's the second time he's taking people across the Trans-Siberian Railway. For the
fantastic.
Time.
Oh, yeah. So does it start in China or finish up
starts
in China?
Starts in China.
Starts in China. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. And it's actually quite a good adventure because you stop at different styles of terrain and towns along the way. So
it's something I've always wanted to do. The Trans-Siberian and the Trans-Mongolian railways are on my bucket list of things to do.
Yeah, good.
Extraordinary landscape, right?
Yes. And the River Nile thing, the Nile cruise is one thing I want to also do as well. I don't know if I'll get a chance now with Egypt the way it is. But
the tour you ought to do is come with me on the Deep South tour next year to Americana Fest. I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Sorry. I didn't know this was a travel program as well. I thought we were playing music tonight.
Oh, we tried with Tinder before with you know who, right?
Well, Simon, yeah, but he always swipes left.
Oh.
Have you got a camera in my toilet?
I have no idea what they're talking about.
I don't know what you mean, Simon.
Celebrate the underdogs, B-sides, album tracks and remixes neglected elsewhere on the airwaves. Plus, tidbits and joy de vivre from musicians and creatives. All this with me, Simon, on What Simon Says. Every first Saturday night at 8:30 on 104.6 Planet FM. Or anytime, online at planetaudio.org.nz/What Simon Says.
This is Kaiser Chiefs. This is a song called A Misery Company from their 2014 album called Education, Education and War, which is a bit of a riff off the twat Tony Blair's Education, Education, Education speech, which he got his face slammed metaphorically.
Did you say his king twat?
I will now. Yes, King Twat Tony Blair. Although the way things are going, there's a kind of
Boris.
I think the crown is being passed well and truly around the kind of circle of Westminster,
Tony unfortunately seems
to be coming off quite well.
He's looking a lot better, isn't he?
He is, true. Yeah. But again, this is one of those songs that on my Radio 13 show, I like to play one song that kind of did something to me, turned my world around. This was another one of the ones I kind of spent 10 years not listening to much guitar music, and recently discovered that lots of other people were. There's this kind of whole thing called landfill indie, which was a term coined by someone who I think wrote for The Enemy, and it kind of talks about a period in time between probably about 2005, 2015, where everyone turned off guitar music. kind of, and because it was all shit and it was all kind of just regurgitating all the good stuff that had come kind of in what was celebrated as the kind of golden era of the Britpop years, which is also a load of old rubbish. But this, I heard this song on BFM. I remember very clearly reversing in my car at my drive, turned on BFM and heard this bit that's going on now, the guitar solo, and I thought, whoa, that is amazing. And I was just, who is this band? And it turned out to be the Kaiser Chiefs. And I thought, I love the Kaiser Chiefs. And their first album, Employment, was really good. And and it turns out they've been, they are the stalwarts that seem to have risen over that kind of landfill indie hole in the ground. But yeah, this is great. This is a great song. And it's got that ha 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 ha. Ah, okay. Chorus. And it's
Black.
it's also the one of two albums that me and my girlfriend and two kids can we all can be in the car together and we listen to the whole album. And no one has a problem with it and goes, turn it off, Dad, this is rubbish.
Are we there yet?
No, we're not yet. We're not there yet. No, David, sorry, Roger.
How could you get me confused with Roger? Jeez. That's not very good.
You've both got grey hair.
Oh, wow.
But that song, I think, is a blinder.
So you like
it?
It's
a cool
blinder.
Song, yeah.
That's good. I just wanted to congratulate you for being halfway eclectic. I like the Kaiser Chiefs too.
Yeah, they're not eclectic though, are they? They're just, you know, kind of a nice indie band. Yeah,
well,
they're not out there.
The last two albums have been pretty shocking, yeah. Unfortunately. I mean, I think that one was a standout. Their last two albums, Duck, which just came out recently, is unfortunately quite bad.
Yeah. Don't you think there was bits of Cooler Shaker in there?
I heard a
not
little Arctic Monkeys in there.
Just the K word. I mean, Kaiser Chiefs is a great name for a band, eh?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I think it's a South African football team, or it could be it's something linked in with, I think it's a South, I don't know. I haven't
making it up.
No, that could be true.
I think it is true.
I just thought, you know, as an imaginative approach to a band name, it was pretty cool.
But I think also Ricky Wilson liked the kind of plosive, non-plosive kutch sound.
It's like a sneeze, really.
Cool and shaker.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Boily, exactly. There we go.
I'm getting bored. Tell us more about Friends and why they're electric.
Mitchell.
Well, if you're getting bored, I'll just leave.
See, like it's like he thinks he's on his own show. It's just doesn't stop, does it?
I will be next Saturday, 8:30.
We'll be all tuning in for that. The good thing you can turn the volume down on that, can't you? Friends. our friends Electric, Gary Anthony James Webb, better known as Gary Newman, hit New Zealand shores back in 1980, and a good story with that one was he couldn't get his gear from Wellington down to Christchurch at the Town Hall, which I went and saw in 1980. Couldn't get them on the ferry, so we didn't see all of that show.
That sounds like an amazing story.
It was a good show. Well, I was 15. That was one of my big gigs, you know. And it was when synthesizers really started to come out, and everyone said Gary Newman copied David Bowie and he imitated him. But, you know, he's kind of transitioned himself. And this song that we're going to play now, Our Friends Electric, this version was played when they came to Auckland back in May 2011. I went with Jibba, that's one of my friends, Simon. And we were second row played.
Just the other one.
Yeah.
Not Clever or
Jibba. Jibba.
Never. No, just Jibba.
Was he?
Because we love synthesizer. Yeah, he was Jibba. We were dancing a little as well and singing, dare I say. Have a listen to this, and I want to cut back in at the end just to finish it off.
I don't wanna know what I'm doing. think for myself. Without little Dale's and Desi's, the things that I just don't understand. Like all I live at night, or a slight touch at times. I don't think it meant anything to you.
That was one of his last tracks at, on the night, and there was, I don't know, 2,500, 3,000 whatever people were at the AT Centre going, wow, 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 woo. And look, it was just, I just loved that song, and I like the way that he remade what was a really great song into something a little bit darker and deeper, and it was a wonderful evening. I don't think it's ever been released on, as an album per se, but the video clip in the cave, you should check it out. Well worth a look. Gary Newman. Not a bad
excellent
chap.
Comments about Mr. Newman? Oh, come on. Our friends electric or what? Come on.
I like that version. I like the that it hits into a big arena sound with the drums, and it's an old, it's a favourite in our house, that song. I love it.
I think that, and I just think that his, you know, the quality of his songs from the early 80s has obviously stood the test of time, and he is celebrated now as a proper kind of person who should be celebrated as a kind of influential and important person in music in general, but also, you know...
He's a great actor.
Is he?
Is he?
Didn't he act?
Wasn't he in The King and I? No, oh, sorry, that was Yul Brynner. I got confused. I think he should be...
I might be thinking of Old Man, not New Man.
Yeah, that could be it.
Oh, no, I did. He was in Kelly's Newman. Heroes. Oh,
was he?
Was he?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, shit, no, that's Telly Savalas.
I'm thinking of Old Man, not New Man.
I think what you said when we were listening to that song, David, is the fact that, he was one of those people that in the early 80s was kind of just... put into that group of people that were just kind of like, oh, just doing what Bowie did.
Oh, like Steve Strange.
Yeah, and all those people, you know, even Boy George, you know, they were kind of put into that group of,
imitation.
And I think that's really important. You know, he was there, and Depeche Mode and Spandau Ballet to a certain extent as well. You know, the now...
Spandau Ballet.
Well, some of them. Not
the early
I can't believe you like them.
Not the Hadley bit.
You mean
the
early
bit.
Part?
Yeah, the other bit.
Cut a long story short. It has got a similar sound.
Cut a long story short.
That's a great track.
Duran Duran.
Yeah, I love Duran Duran.
All those bands were seen as, at the time, kind of, they're just doing what Bowie did in you.
And Trent from Nine Inch Nails attributed to Newman to be a major influence. Hmm. So, yeah. And I think they played together recently.
It's more similar to kind of industrial, they sort of sound from Cannes, you know, the German group?
Yeah, that's right.
It's that sort of relentless
Kraut
post-punk
rock.
Sound. Yeah. It's not at all like Bowie. I don't find that.
No.
Yeah, but Bowie would say
was.
That he, you know, a lot of his kind of mid-70s stuff came from Cannes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Germany and stuff.
Yeah, he's in Berlin, wasn't he?
Unfortunately, if you like Bowie, if you're a band that is influenced and like Bowie, then you just get kind of shoved into this little bin of kind of, we haven't been for Bowie. They wouldn't be.
Well, I am Bowie. I think it's my turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just think it's great to reinvent a song and I think make it a little bit better for the time. So,
all right, take it, Uncle Rog.
I got deep, warm, drunk, and I lost my words. And it does not hurt. And that moon is absurd. Now, we're going to hear, and Simon's going to shut up because it's elbow. He doesn't like elbow. He's got his elbows on the desk, and it's all, he's protected by a scuffed suede. And we're going to hear a song that I, when I play elbow, there's only one song I just want to play. And we're going to do it now.
Stuff we started, things had ended. Stuff regarding all my friends. are good friends, these are mine.
You know, you're, the song just takes you rhythmically along like you're riding in a train or riding in a plane, and all of a sudden the doors spring open and chaos, all chaos. You feel like you're being sucked out of the aeroplane, and that's Snooks. My colleagues will not know that Snooks is all about a blind Louisianan guitarist called Snooks Eaglin. So I'm told. My colleagues will no doubt not be surprised that I have a Snooks Eaglin album in my collection.
Of course.
Very eclectic.
It's 45-inch.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go, Simon? Because we were doing another show and you came out with a different record sizes and apparently you've got a 45-inch. Is that factually true?
No, it's not factually true. As well, you know.
What you said, though.
I didn't mean it.
You brought out your 45.
It was a special edition.
Yeah. But I don't have any Snooks 45s, so I've just got...
Well, no, me either. A day like this, Roger, for me, would be the penultimate track for Albo. And seeing them live at the Power Station, playing there and seeing 2,500 people just stomping to that.
Just very, amazing concerts.
Very emotive.
Very good live, aren't they?
Oh, they're incredibly... And they take a lot of time to make their sound really good. And you can just tell when they played that night, they made sure that everything was right, and it was. It was brilliant.
The masters of understatement.
Maybe that's why I don't like them.
Build a rocket, boy.
But what do you think,
that
Claire?
That will change your life. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Claire?
Yes.
Give us some Elbow.
I'm a really deep Elbow fan, and I had to move over when Roger chose this track because mine was also Elbow.
Yes.
But that's awesome because we can share the stage. yes, and Mirrorball is like my top love song. It's just incredible. Elbow was an important band in that era. It was the sort of soundtrack for my divorce.
Oh, ouch.
So there you go. So it's kind of, I think music has that thing, though, that it attaches itself
to. I want to elbow you aside.
Yeah, exactly. Grounds for divorce. Get it? but it's got that kind of, it attaches to particular parts in your life, doesn't it?
It becomes
the kind of soundtrack for that, that time.
Why don't you tell us about this next track?
Ben Christophers. He's just a lovely eccentric singer-songwriter who expands into a big sound in this track.
Okay.
And I'll talk a little bit more afterwards.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's have a listen.
Leave my soul behind. Only weighs me down. I feel so bad inside. Down.
Ben Christopher's Leaving My Sorrow Behind from his 2001 album Spoonface, second album, that one. And I chose that track because it was kind of a new way I was listening to music. I'd come from classical music and opera, and then I'd had a big gap where I'd left music performance, and there was quite a just lots of, well, it was actually raising my small kids. There was not much time for listening and exploring music. So the 2000s were really just about picking up a couple of artists, and Elbow was one of them. And this chappie was a kind of a hark back to my days in UK where I lived for 17 years, and discovering the kind of the edgy, not the real true Britpop sound, but the indie rock kind of sound, and listening to the Doves and Elbow, and just really enjoying that sound. So Ben Christopher's from Wolverhampton was this kind of eccentric singer-songwriter version of the British sound.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I thought that was I've never heard his music before, but certainly I'm going to explore it a bit more.
Totally. I thought it was lovely.
Good album, that one.
Yeah. I've got his first album, so it's nice to know that he's still
going. Jeez, Roger, you've got every album in the whole world in your house.
He's an eclectic collector.
Haven't you? How many albums have you got?
I don't know anymore.
Simon, how many albums have you got?
About 10.
45.
No, 10.
But you did make quite a large purchase a wee while ago, is that right?
A large purchase?
Yeah, of an album that you spent.
45 inches?
Suede album.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Well, last record store day, yeah.
Yes. Fuck, yeah. You got quite highlighted on that
I
one.
Did,
a little
yeah.
bit animated.
I bought the 20th anniversary, vinyl?
33s.
33 yeah. vinyl, 33s. version of Head Music, which is...
And weren't they colour as well?
They were. There's a lovely kind of... what would you call it? Lime green.
Yes. So they don't make records 45 inches.
I haven't finished telling you what colours they are yet, Roger.
I just want to talk about size. They don't make them at 45 inches anymore.
They're back typical guys.
33.
Well, this is 33s. There was a lime green one, yes. A beautiful pastel pink.
And blue. Was
a blue,
blue?
Yeah.
I thought it was a blue.
Yeah. They're not very good quality. I don't think Roger would... he'd probably throw them against the wall.
Well, no, they should be 180 gram for,
they're
the,
not 180
for the price
gram.
That he paid, I would have thought.
But, yeah, it was quite expensive. But I went down to Southbound Records 2 days after Record Store Day because the aeroplane had not got them here
But that was
day.
The thing about the 2000 or the noughties is when vinyl was really on its way out.
It was gone.
That's when CDs were pretty much in, wasn't it?
Yes.
Cassettes were still around.
It started in 1990.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, at that day, even artists were not pressing anymore.
No, in 1990, the CD was revolutionary. The sound was exquisite.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until 15, 20 years later that vinyl started to come back, and you realized you had to spend a little bit more money on getting the vinyl sound to sound better than CD, but it still does.
Yes, it does. I mean, it's warm, it's organic, and that's what I love about touching music, you know.
I remember going down buying that first Strokes album in 2001 on CD, and that was, you know, the fact that it was a physical thing that you could actually pick up.
Right,
I think that was still important in the 2000s, and even now, you know, I'd rather buy a CD than I would, I'd buy CDs. I've only just recently got a record turntable thing, but I also kind of get things digitally as well. But for me, a CD is a beautiful thing, and there were lots of good, you know. Beautifully correct. If you think about Spiritualized and the stuff they did with the CD in the 2000s, you know.
Simon, I'd call it de-spiritualized, you know. Digital is digital. Analog is what we were born to listen to.
And that's what you do a lot as well, Claire. You got yourself a nice little record collection as well, don't you?
I have inherited all my father's records, actually.
Fantastic.
Which is really cool. You just don't know what you're pulling out, though, because the ends are so scuffed. You can no longer well see played. The titles down the edge,
like
you know?
Like
Well, a lot of classical, actually. But he had a strange mixture of sort of jazz and Steely Dan and Baroque.
Oh, what strange
Bartok. Yeah, so,
Bartok.
Yeah, the original eclectic man.
Last time I saw my father, I didn't know what I was pulling out either.
I don't want to admit to that.
I remember being in Marbex one day, and I was buying an album, and this little boy was in the with his dad in the queue, and he said, "Wow, I've never seen a CD that big." He said,
"But when the album's the best though, because if you wanted to sit down and indulge in the lyrics and the artwork, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's never been an era like that.
Did you not feel cheated when you bought an album and you pulled it out and? Hello, there's no notes or no lyrics.
Oh, just a plastic sleeve.
But just go back to what I was saying about some bands did, like, spiritualise, embrace the CDs, and if you look at Ladies and Gentlemen in Floating Space, the one that came after that, they are beautiful CDs.
I have a spiritualised album.
You can still do the artwork,
You can still do the artwork and the kind of linear notes, and that's something to behold. And
it's a little small, though. I mean, great. I'll give you that. But
you can't get the posters out.
Yeah,
you can't get the posters.
Well, they're little posters.
But when I have posters, I don't want to put them on the wall. I don't want to touch them. I want to keep them in pristine position.
Oh, that's great, because then you never get to look at them then.
No, exactly.
That's smart, Simon.
I wish I could say that about you.
You love pulling me out all the time.
Oh, dear.
Well, that was the Week 5 special, people. So, this is us, the Radio 13 Eclective Collective.
And we hope to change that name.
And it's me next week on the next Saturday, 8:30, What Simon Says, with the special guest, Lani Perkis.
Okay.
Great.